Let's bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this place, this church, this time of worship. We ask that once again you would let loose the power of your Spirit upon us. For it's only by the power of your Spirit that I can speak. Only by the power of your Spirit that we can hear. Only by the power of your Spirit that we can be transformed. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Today we are in part two of a two-part message talking about what we can do to lay the foundation for the future. So last week, if you weren't here, I mentioned the picture on the front of the bulletin, which is a cathedral in Spain. And like most European cathedrals of the time, it took about 200 some odd years for that cathedral to actually get built, right? Which means that those who laid the foundation of the cathedral never got to see the completed beautiful product that we see before us these days. They didn't get to see the full beauty of the cathedral, but without their work, that beauty may never come to be. And so it is with us as the church. Our willingness to lay the foundation of faith for others is crucial for them. Our willingness to lay down a foundation of faith for each other is crucial for us. We may never see the fullness of the beauty of what we do together or what we do for others. Not this side of heaven, anyway. But that beauty might not come to exist if we don't do what God calls us to do. So today's story comes from the second part of Luke's writing. If you don't know, Luke wrote two books. He wrote the Gospel of Luke as part one, and the Acts of the Apostles is kind of the sequel to that. So the Gospel of Luke is about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And the Acts of the Apostles is the story of the church as it begins and as it grows and as it begins to expand, right? The particular passage we read today, I think that this is the story of the church in a nutshell. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian is the story of the church in a nutshell. It's the story of the church. It's the story of us. It's the story about those who are not yet in the church, but who are hungry for a life that they can't quite put their finger on, but they know that they want. Those who are out among us longing for something more. In other words, they are hungry for the life that we know you find in and through Jesus. All right, so Philip, he's all in about this life in Jesus Christ. He's in Samaria preaching and doing great work, healing the lame and the paralyzed and casting out demons in the name of Jesus. All the things the Spirit was giving him the power to do, he was doing, had a great successful ministry going on. And in the midst of that successful ministry, God sent a messenger. God sent an angel to Philip. He says to Philip, go down south. Go on the road to Gaza, which is a wilderness road. Which means, being a wilderness road, probably means there's not many people out there. So Philip goes from this ministry in Samaria, where there's all these people and doing all these great things, and the Spirit leads him away from that to a very isolated place. But Philip goes where God leads him to go. On that road to Gaza, he sees a chariot. Think of a kind of an ancient, fancy covered wagon, right? So there's this Ethiopian official riding along in the chariot, leaving from Jerusalem, going back to Ethiopia. And Philip feels the urge to catch up to it. It says the Spirit guided him to catch up to the chariot. And when he does, he hears the Ethiopian either reading or having read to him the book of Isaiah. Right? Philip quickly realizes this is a person who is seeking to find what God has to offer. He is in his chariot, riding back home, listening, reading the words of Isaiah. He is hungry for something of God. Now, the reason I say that this story is a great illustration of the church and what God calls us to do is because all around us are Ethiopian officials. All around us are people who are hungry for the things of God. They're hungry for the life that is truly life. All around us are people longing for a life of hope and peace and meaning and significance. Now, we know that life is found in and through Jesus Christ. We know what they're longing for, just as Philip knew what that Ethiopian was longing for. So the Ethiopian official, really represents all the people around us in our community who are hungry for something of God. And Philip represents us. Right? The Ethiopian official represents all those people, and Philip represents us. So as we look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, we find our call as the church. If we look at the story, it helps us understand how we can be effective in living out our call as a church. Now, by the way, don't miss the reality of who it was that Philip was called to engage. This is an Ethiopian. It is someone who is very different from Philip. He doesn't look like those. He's from the continent of Africa. Doesn't look like the people who are in the Middle East. Probably someone who looks very different from Philip, lives life very differently from the way Philip lives his life. He's also a eunuch, which means he is a castrated male, which is to say his sexuality is not typical, right? His gender is not evident the same way as most men's gender is. Now, the Ethiopian represents the people we're called to help and the people we're called to reach. That means we're going to have to be ready to reach those not like us who don't live like us. We have to be ready to reach those who don't look like us and who don't live like us. So if that's the case, we have to ask, what are the most important things for us to focus on in order for us to be effective in doing what God calls us to do? How can we be most effectively witnesses that Jesus calls us to be? Right? If we go back to chapter 1 of the book of Acts, Luke tells the story of Jesus before he goes back to heaven to the Father. Jesus says to his disciples, right, you will be my witnesses when the power of the Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's concentric circles, right? Further and further out, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you know what Ethiopia was like to the people in Israel? It was like the ends of the earth. And here was Philip doing what Jesus called him to do, to witness to the ends of the earth. So what do we learn from Philip that can help us in our being witnesses for Jesus? I think there's three things he helps us understand that make us effective witnesses to help others find this life that God has for them. It's our eagerness, our openness, and our passion. Three things: our eagerness, our openness, and our passion. I mean, what makes Philip's witness to the Ethiopian effective? Well, for one thing, he knows who Jesus is, and he knows why Jesus is. Right? He knows who Jesus is, and he knows why he has come, and he knows that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, of the words of the prophet. He's able to talk to this man about Jesus being the one that Isaiah talks about as the lamb who gave himself up to be sacrificed, who went without saying a word, willingly dying on the cross. Philip's able to help the Ethiopian see that Jesus fulfills all the scriptures. That he went to the cross and took away all the barriers between us and God. He took away our sin, our shame, our guilt, all the things that keep us from the life that God has for us. Jesus took them out of the way by his death on the cross. He's able to show him how Jesus opened the door for all people to become part of the family of God. Even an Ethiopian eunuch. And that's exactly what happens in the story. As they go along, the Ethiopian hears about Jesus. Obviously, Philip tells him about the church and how the church works and how you can be baptized into the family of God. And the Ethiopian comes by some water. He says, here's some water. What's to stop me from being baptized right now? Why can I not become part of the family of God right in this moment? And he can. And he does. Because Philip points him in that direction and shows him that the door is open for him to come in. That's our call. To help others see and to know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. To be able to help them understand how Christ fulfills the stories in the Old Testament. How he does for us what God called him to do to give us back that relationship. Now you might be thinking, that's great, Pastor, for you. You know all these things. I don't necessarily know all these things. What does that mean that you can't be an effective witness for Jesus if you don't know everything? No. Jesus said, the Spirit will give you the words that you need in the time that you need them. I believe it was the Spirit who led Philip to the Ethiopian, and it was the Spirit who gave Philip the words that he needed to say to the Ethiopian to help him find this life in Jesus Christ. And just like the Spirit helped Philip, the Spirit will help us. So what matters most is not that we know everything, but that we are eager to know as much as we can. Are we eager to grow in the love and grace and knowledge of God? Are we eagerly seeking to know God more through the Scriptures? Right? That's one of the keys. The more eager we are to know of God and know of God's grace and love and what God lays out for us in the Scriptures, the more our spirits are able to be open to what God would have us do for others. So Madison talked about we have a new Sunday school class that starts next week. In the weeks ahead, you're going to hear about some other small groups and Bible studies that are starting, right? My question for you is, are you eager to find a place to learn and grow? If you're not yet in a group where you are learning and growing, are you eager to do that? Are you willing to be part of a Sunday morning small group? Or part of a weekday Bible study? Are you willing to get together with others, maybe at your home, and go through the Gospel of Mark as we go through the Gospel of Mark in the coming Sundays? Are you willing to engage and find out more? Are you eager to learn? I mean, I can talk to you about the trip to Israel, right? One of the reasons I want to use Jerusalem University College for our trip to Israel is they don't just take you to the holy sites and show you the places where things happen. They talk to you about the land of the Bible and how things were working from a socioeconomic, political way throughout the Bible. And you see the highways and the valleys and the pathways, and you begin to understand there is so much going on. And when you learn the depth of that, the Scriptures become even more alive for you. Are you eager to learn such things, right? We don't know everything, don't have to know everything, but our eagerness to learn makes a huge difference, right? That's one key piece of our effectiveness. Eagerness to grow in the love, grace, and knowledge of God, right? The second piece is openness. To be open to where God leads us to go, to the people God leads us to reach, right? That's a fairly obvious one. We can't be effective for what God wants us to do unless we go to the people that God leads us to. I mean, if there are people that God wants us to reach, we have to be willing to go where God sends us. We have to be willing to do what God would ask us to do. Again, Philip was having great success in his ministry, right, in Samaria. He had people coming to him and hearing about the good news of Jesus. They were being healed. They were having demons cast out from them. Very successful. And then God said, okay, now I need you to go to a more isolated place and go where I lead you. He didn't know he was going to meet an Ethiopian. He just knew he had to go down to this road. So Philip was willing to leave behind all of his success and go where God was leading him. And his openness to God's leading allowed God to use him to reach that Ethiopian eunuch, someone Philip never would have expected to reach. That same thing is true for us. Our openness is going to matter. In a couple of weeks, the leadership team is going to be looking ahead, the next 12 to 18 months, and what God's calling us to do as a church, where God is calling us to go, and we'll start trying to discern what is it that God wants us to do, right? And if that team is not open to God's lead, we may miss the opportunities for this church to reach people that don't look like us and don't live like us that we never may have expected to reach. We as a church need to be open to that as well. If God's going to use us to reach those people, our openness to God makes a big difference in God's ability to use us. Just like our eagerness to grow and learn, we have to be open to where God leads us. That's why I want to encourage you on that survey. We need to hear from you and what God's speaking to you and how your soul is doing. Part of those are very personal questions, but it helps the leadership understand so that we can know all we need to know and discern where God is leading us to go. So there's eagerness and there's openness, but both of those are undergirded by the third one, passion. We need a passion for helping others find the life that is truly life. Our heart's desire, our deepest heart's desire, has to be for other people to find the life that is truly life in Jesus Christ.
We need a passion for reaching others with the good news that Jesus Christ has opened the door for all people to come in and find life and life abundant. Right, this is Philip. This is what Philip is all about. In his successful ministry, he was about that. When he left his successful ministry, he goes where God leads him to go. And when he gets there, he hears this man reading from the scriptures, reading from Isaiah. And he has this passion to help him understand. And so he asks him, do you know what you're reading? Right? I imagine Philip with a sly smile on his face as he is next to the chariot when he hears the words of Isaiah. I mean, he knows the truth that Isaiah speaks of Jesus and all that God has done. And I imagine him next to that chariot thinking, ah, this is my chance. This is my chance to help them know that Jesus is the one who can bring them fully into life. That Isaiah is speaking about Jesus who came to fulfill all of the law and the prophets, right? I can help him take a step into this new life. I can help him find what he longs for. He may not know it, but I know it. And I can help him understand it. Right? Philip was all about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. He was all about the fact that Jesus came so that none would perish and all would have eternal life. He was passionate about helping others find that life. And that made all the difference. Philip's goal was to help others know the truth of Jesus, to find new life in him, to God led him to places he never expected to go, to a person who was nothing like him at all. And his passion for Jesus lit a spark in that Ethiopian official. And that spark, from what we knew, grew into a blazing fire. The church's understanding of that Ethiopian official was he was the one that carried the gospel into the continent of Africa, where the church exploded there in that place. That more and more people came to believe in Jesus because of the Ethiopian's witness. So what Philip did lit a spark that became a great fire. That's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. That's the story of the church. That's our story. We're called to be witnesses for Jesus, reaching people who don't look like us, people who don't live life exactly the way that we do, people who might just take the gospel into an unexpected place and set that place on fire for Jesus Christ. Key to it all, eagerness to know and grow in the knowledge of God, openness to go where God leads us to go, and a passion that others would find this life in Jesus Christ. Will we know for sure all that God has done through us? I'll say this, Philip, I don't think, ever saw the beauty of what he did. He never got to see the beauty of the church that happened in Africa because of what he did in his witness to that Ethiopian. In the same way, the workers who laid the foundation for the cathedral never saw the beauty of their completed work. But in both cases, without Philip's work, without the workers of the foundation, the beauty that came to be may never have happened. So even though we may not see what God will do in us and through us, may we be eager and open and passionate so that others will know the life that is truly life, the life they hunger for. Amen and amen.